عن أي كتاب
there are a couple of things here that needless to say are rather difficult to understand and explain, and I do this to the very best of my ability. Now, in order to understand what goes on from here until the end of the chapter, I just have to remind you of something rather fundamental that occurred on pages 180 and 181, and that is exactly in the middle of the page. Where in the English you've got the same just divided into five parts. And then he mentions the five parts. Now, I've got to explain to you that however simple it appears to be on the surface, it is not quite as simple as all that. So what he has said, and we've got to understand this in the spirit of his Strauss, which was such an important part of this whole work. Now, he says the soul is thus divided into five parts. We know Klo, Shoko, Hanashona, Mishaloka, Hanisho, to be created. Now, when it's five parts, we have to understand that each part is a higher part of the soul. So we start off with the nefesh, and then comes ruach, and then comes neshama. Now, I think it was Linda who asked the question, and I have to explain that we use the words nefesh and neshama not always strictly in their definitive sense. For example, we will often use the word nefesh when we need the neshama, and then we use the word neshama when we need nefesh. Now you will find that when we discuss military strategy with me, I will be speaking about the Navy. And somebody is listening to me will say, not the Navy, the Marine. Now, to me, the Marines are the Navy. Why are they called Marines? So they say, no, you don't understand. They're right, I don't understand. It's not my subject. That is not the way it's designed. So we don't use the different terms interchangeably because we don't know exactly how to divide it. And so there are two distinct terms which we use interchangeably, and that is nefesh and neshama. Strictly speaking, nefesh is the lower soul, and neshama is a quite different soul. It's a much higher soul. And the clue is in the verse in the Torah, by Yisrael, Hashem Elohim Israel Dem, Nim Ha'ofar, and God formed man out of the ground, by Yisach Be'akov Nishmas Chayim, and he breathed into his body Nishmas Chayim, the Neshama of life. That is the eternal soul. That is the neshama that is higher than the nefesh. By a hero or gambler, nefesh higher, and then the man became a nefesh, he became a living creature. But he was different from the ordinary living creature because he had a neshama. Now his nefesh, his body was alive, and he was alive, but he had a neshama. So we have to know that there is the nefesh, and the nefesh is the biological life that a human being has. An animal has got that. He's got a nefesh. A plant has got some motive. Has got botanical life. An animal has got zoological life. And a human being has got human life. And that is the motive. The higher is the miserable. That the animal hasn't got. So when it comes to the creativity that is the part of the human being's intellect, that is belongs to the Meshomot and not to the Lepers. Now, what he says in this particular paragraph is that it is the Lepers, that's the lowest, higher than that is the Ruach, higher than that is the Meshomot, higher than that is the Chayor, and higher than that is the Yesidot. That is how it goes. Now, there are a couple of things that I've got to explain that to you. First of all, that the human being forms into two distinct parts. The one part is the nefesh, which is really the body, and the other part is the neshama, which is really the spirit. Those are the two parts in which the human being forms. So the nefesh belongs to one part, to the neshama and the chayo and the yechido, that belongs to another part, that belongs to the other part. So man is a compound creature. He is compounded of a nefesh and of a neshama. That is the first thing one has to understand, because once we understand this particular paragraph. He is compounded of a nefesh and a neshama. He is compounded of an animal soul and of a human soul. Now, until there, it's not difficult to understand at all. Now, the human soul, when we come to the human soul, you've got Ruach, you've got neshama, you've got Chaya, you've got Yechido, you've got very much more. So, he then is a compound creature, as I'll explain to you in a few minutes time what I mean by a compound creature. But simultaneously, he is a complex creature also. It's not that he's just a compound creature. Now, let me get quite clear as to what I mean by compound and by complex. For example, in language, we have sentences. We can have a compound sentence. The war has been won, and the struggle for the peace has begun. Those are two separate sentences joined together, and we are discussing one thing. We are discussing the situation through which we are just passing, through which we are passing. The war has been won, and now the struggle for peace has begun. The war has been won is a whole sentence. The struggle for peace has begun is a whole sentence. Two whole sentences, joined as I am, they become one sentence, and that is a compound sentence. So the human body is made up of the nefesh and of the neshama, and that is a compound peace. Alright? Compound being in exactly the same way as water is a compound substance. Every molecule of water is a compound substance. It is made up of hydrogen and oxygen. Two atoms of hydrogen, one atom of oxygen. And so it becomes, it's a compound. Two hydrogen and one oxygen. That is one substance, it's one substance. So the human being, as far as his life is concerned, is alive. So being alive consists of the nefesh and of the neshama. So that is the first thing to understand. Now, once we've understood that, we can go a little bit further. So he is a compound creature, but simultaneously, the human being is complex also. For example, if I were to reduce it to ordinary grammar and accidents in syntax, it would work out something like this. The war has been won, and now the peace has begun in order to ensure that in the Gulf, which comprises many countries, there will be peace. The first sentence is that it is simple. The war has been won. But the second sentence is no longer a simple sentence. The compound sentence is made up of two single sentences. Now we've got a sentence in which we've got the first half is a simple sentence, and then we come on to the second half of the compound sentence, and it is complex. It speaks about different countries in the Gulf. It speaks about the necessity of peace. It's a complex sentence. You can have the war, which was expected to be long, has been won. It's a complex sentence. The war, now another clause comes into it, which was expected to be long, has been won. So it's not the war has been won, which was expected to be long, and that is brought into it as a clause. It makes the simple sentence into a complex one. The nervous is not simple, it's complex. The human being is compounded of the nervous and the nervous, but at the same time the nervous is not simple, but it is complex. And at the same time, the Neshama is not simple, but it is complex. I'm telling you this in order that you should be able to understand what happens afterwards. But I have made it as simple as I possibly can. And in everything in life, there is the compound and the complex. It goes a little bit further than that, and that is that we cannot divide the body from the spirit. We cannot divide the nefesh from the neshama and the neshama from the nefesh. There is something of the nefesh that seeps into the neshama. And there is something of the neshama, by the grace of God, which seeps into the nefesh also. So even in the materialistic side of the human being, there is something that is spiritual. And if the human being has become so materialistic as to be completely caught, and then the Neshama has got no part in the message whatsoever. He's caught in himself. This can happen. Is that quite clear? Now, if you're going to answer any questions on that, you can obviously now, before we go any further. Yes, Hannah?
When the body dies,
then
does the message stay with the body, or does it go to the
Neshama? Yeah, that is a complex question. When the body dies, in the case of the human being, it has been the body has been influenced by the Neshama. The nervous has been influenced by the Neshama. So there is something of the Neshama in the body and in the nervous. In the case of the animal, it doesn't apply, because there is no Neshama. So in the animal, there is only the nervous, and that is all. But in the human being, and so, that is one of the reasons, and the main reason, why we are so careful that the body mustn't be touched after death. It mustn't be mutilated, it mustn't be cremated, it must be put into the ground as it is, left it disintegrate as it is. And then, when there is the fear of salvation, there is the reproduction of the body. It will be not quite the same as it is now, but unless if the Neshama has no, doesn't enter the nefesh at all, or is lost from the nefesh, or driven out by the nefesh, then there is no resurrection for that person. is becoming a little clearer. Now that is how it works. So, the human being is a very complex creature. Yes,
Rob, you're speaking of burial. Now, what is the situation when there's an amputation? I mean, why
do
you have a ritual bearing for the amputation?
Yes, you can ask a much better question.
I'm sure I could, but I don't know.
I don't know. What happens to those people who get cremated? In the crematoria.
Right. Well, I mean, that was unavoidable. But we're talking about...
Well, so, there is a situation like this. Nothing that has been created goes lost. There's only one thing that can be destroyed that has been created. And the strangest thing of all about it is, that is the Neshama. God can destroy the Neshama, but that is the only thing. Otherwise, whatever is created, I'm sorry, I'm not altogether right, I mean, God can destroy the material world, but he will not destroy the Neshama. That he doesn't destroy. That is eternal. Now, when there is a part of the middle of a person is lost, but the person remains alive, then the person that remains alive, that is the person. That is the person. That is the part that must be burning. That would be amputation, the other thing. But we don't want it there, we want it there, take it to property, that is other things. But that is what remains. Now, so you've got some idea now of the workings of it. That when the body was created, the body was created as a necessary part of the human being. With some friends in Johannesburg, there were two brothers, and they were very good people. Now, you know, medical people can be quite sophisticated and can be deep and can be very engaging, and what the Americans call, they can be very innovative and what we call imaginative. These are not quite the same thing, but they don't quite know in America what imaginative means. They only use the word innovative, it doesn't really matter very much. And these are two brothers. Now, I think that the Atlas brothers, the Atlas, do you remember this?
Yes, and I can get the other one. 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 Yes, and I